everyone. A while back, we were just discussing with Avnish that what is the role of an analyst at a VC fund, right? Like, what are the skills that you look at when you're recruiting, or probably what's their career progression? What could be the exit options and what not? We also talked about participation of women in VC and is there something that needs to be improved there? So we decided to do a session around this. And Avi, I think this has been a perennial topic in all my conversations with my friends and colleagues in the ecosystem or people who want to join the ecosystem. And clearly, right, you have donned like multiple hats throughout your career. So starting with your Apple job and then doing your master's and then starting your own startup, Bazi, and then of course co-founding Matrix Partners. So I think it'll be best to listen from the horse's mouth as to what does he feel about
it. So first of all, Nitisha, thank you. I am so happy that you not only raised this topic with me, but you volunteered to say that let's do a podcast together. I think it takes a certain level of initiative, and I really, really appreciate that. I hope it's useful. I think to your point, we are trying to answer questions for people who are junior VCs, who are thinking about VC, who are currently in VC, but also female participation in VC. So I'm very excited to be here and in this kind of a setting and all of us here together, and looking forward to answering whatever you throw at me.
Yes, really excited for this one. So for the starters, right, let's talk about what do you think is the role of a junior VC in a fund?
So, let's go back to why did we... So typically, if you look at the US, which is where the venture capital industry kind of started, it's a very top-down industry. They never used to be analysts, associates, until very recently, if you ask me, it's always been partner-driven, okay? What is the, if you look at the last few years, you've been here a few months, what is the average age of a founder that you interact with?
Probably somewhere between 24 to 27.
What is the average age of the VCs, partners in the VCs? Therein lies the answer. Therein lies the answer. So, increasingly, it is, and by the way, now also there is a dichotomy. There is a set of experienced founders, maybe my age, somewhere in that cohort, late 30s, 40s, and there is a set of junior, younger founders, right? And we have to cater to both. And the networks are very different. Also, this is a disruption business, an innovation business. And technology changes very fast. And I'm hazarding a guess that you're on Instagram Reels, you're on Snapchat. I'm not. Yeah. If you ultimately see what is a venture capital business, it's about spotting trends, and then it's about networking with the founders. We have to do both at both ends of the spectrum of age. Yeah. And therefore, unlike the US, I believe the US and some of these mature VC markets have evolved to this now, that you have to have both. That's how the thought came. This was like maybe 4-5 years ago. I remember it came a lot from the IIT. Originally, it used to be a lot of this IIT ecosystem. So IIT Bombay mein network karna hai. Actually, a lot of it was IIT Bombay initially. And now, obviously, thankfully, it has evolved to female as well as non-IIT, non-engineering backgrounds.
Quite a lot.
But that's where it came. Trends and networks. And both are relevant at different, maybe vintages, ages, whatever you want to call it.
Got it.
And so the core role is, are you abreast of the trends in your cohort? What is happening in your cohort? I'll give you one more example. Like in fintech, credit cards is something that older cohort uses. Younger cohort uses BNPL a lot more, right? So things like this, and then network. So I think that's the core part of the role. But you've been here now for a while. So what do you think?
No, I completely agree with you, Avi. I think analysts definitely bring a fresh perspective to a lot of things, right? I have been in those meetings wherein, like, especially you've called out ki, Nitisha, how do you feel about this product, right? Like, I think you have been privy to this sector or probably this part of the tech more than me. So I do believe that there is a certain level of aggression. I mean, not talking about myself, but like I would want to believe so. There's a certain level of aggression, some hunger, like really go there and like find whatever it is and just do it, right? So I do believe that maybe it's with the age factor, it's because it's the first job and it's like a do or die and you just want to make everything out of it.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And I think coming back to this perspective, and I know somewhere here we will just go with the flow of our discussion. I know you were going to ask me about one of the books. You know, there's a book that I swear by and I know you know, it's called Super Forecasting.
Yeah.
And the core part of that, super forecasters, if you're a super, so just for everybody's benefit, a super forecaster is a person who will have a judgment about the future, which is more accurate than anybody else,
yeah.
Right? And they are not geniuses. There is a certain approach they take. And the approach they take is very open-minded, very outside-in, very curious, but very diverse.
Yeah.
Very diverse point of view, right? And I think that younger, female, non-engineer background, all of this adds to a diverse point of view. So it's for better decision making.
Yeah, I think this brings us to my next question, which is actually the recipe of it, right? Like, what does one need to do to crack into the VC ecosystem? So I remember, I think your interview, even when I was interviewing for Matrix, was the most interesting one, including some puzzles also, some role plays across like different positions that you can have. So just for the benefit of viewers who are currently not in the VC ecosystem, but want to be there someday, what do you really think are the 3 to 4 qualities or traits that they need to nail for being able to crack into this world?
So Saloni is sitting over there, so I have to always plug other Matrix moments. So there is a Matrix moment on intrinsics and extrinsics. And I think it would be beneficial for people to listen to it because that's where it comes from, right? But I'll tell you the single best definition of a venture capitalist, not of any other investor, of a venture capitalist that I've heard is wide-angled polymath. And you have to unpack each of those words, right? So polymath is somebody who has reasonable amount of knowledge about various fields. And wide angle is somebody who has a very wide perspective, generally meaning open-minded, right? So, are you born with that or can you acquire that?
You can acquire that, definitely.
So, how would you acquire wide angle? How would you acquire polymath kind of skills? You are just very, very curious. You're always learning. You're always reading. Ultimately, this becomes, over a period of time, a pattern matching business. Okay, I'm sure you've read the Outliers book, which is talks about 10,000 hours, right? You can, if you do the math, 40 hour week times, I don't know, 40 weeks a year, 45 weeks a year that you're working. Typically, if you do the math, that's 5-6 years. You can do 80 hour week, and it'll be 2.5 years. It's as simple as that. So, if you put in a lot of input into the right places, read a lot, try to think about what is happening, keep a very open mind, I think you can be, anybody can become a VC. But that's where it turns. Often what happens, and by the way, you mentioned I was an entrepreneur. Actually, entrepreneurs often make the worst VCs because they think they know the answer. They have done it before. They are investing in themselves, not in the founder, right? So
was there a learning curve for you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at my first 5-6 investments. Actually, don't look at them. So that's the... So, number one trait, insatiable curiosity. Insatiable curiosity. Now, EQ, networking, all of that, it matters. Because we said spot trends and then spot founders and find founders. So networking, EQ, being able to meet people. Now, everybody has a different approach to it, by the way. You don't have to be a backslapping, rah-rah kind of a networking person.
Yeah.
You can be a content-first networking person. I know you have had an experience with some of the founders where they reach out to you because they think that you are adding value to them.
Yeah.
So there are different formulas, but I would say number one would be of the 9 traits that we have in that Intrinsics podcast, hunger, hustle, grit, all of that, yes, all of it is required. If there is one thing that differentiates a great investor from a not great investor, it's curiosity. If you talk about Warren Buffett, he still says he reads, I don't know how many books a year.
Yeah.
You talk about Charlie Munger, he will say, I'm still learning. So the second thing is this growth mindset, willingness to learn, willingness to be wrong, which is very hard initially. And especially, by the way, I would love your thought on it. You know, when you are starting out in your career anywhere, you want to be right. You want to show, I figured it out, I knew the answer. If I say I was wrong, my boss will think ki mereko kuch nahi malum hai. I think it's very tough for a younger person to
accept
that, because the reality is you will catch only 20-30% of the good deals. 70-80% of the time you're going to be wrong. If you're not acknowledging that, you're never going to grow. So how do you think about that?
No, I completely agree. It's just, as a young or an early person into this particular profession, every time there's a message that, okay, you know, this deal
happened.
And I swear they're like, you know, chills down the spine. And I'm like, how could I miss this? I mean, had this just been happening like a week back, things would have been so different, right? As if this deal was the thing that was going to, you know, make my life. So I agree. I think that's the case with this 24, 25-year-old archetype that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Wherein they think that every, the particular deal in isolation that they're seeing is what makes or breaks.
But, you know, I will tell you that the best investors, so I think a lot of us, even right now at the firm and other firms also, a lot of us operate out of FOMO. And we have to differentiate between FOMO investing and conviction investing. And I think if you read a lot, if you form a point of, you know, we want to be more thesis first.
Yeah.
We want to be more network first, right? So if you spend a lot of time really forming a point of view, you, me and Dada have done a deal together. We had a very clear point of view. We moved very fast in that deal, right? There's another one where we are maybe didn't have a point of view and we still moved very fast because of FOMO and we are, you know, having concerns also, right? So you never know. But the formula here is top-down, thoughtful point of view. Then the less of this thing met.
Yeah.
It'll be not met, but I'm clear why not met. And I think
mean, you take your bets and you be happy with it, right?
And in a deepening market, there's going to be enough going around, right? So we have to find our own formula.
So I completely agree, right? And like it's been like 1 year, 3 months for me at Matrix and I've absolutely loved every bit of it. Be it meeting the founders, forming thesis, spotting the trends, right? And like learning from so many key people in the ecosystem. But like given our discussion earlier, right? Like I do think that there are some early hiccups or inhibitions which do trouble me sometime. And when I discussed it with my fellow colleagues in other funds, I realized that there's a pattern to it, especially for the early investors in the early stage VCs. So would probably want to, you know, touch upon like one or two points from there and would love to get your views. The biggest problem that I face is around validation, right? The feedback cycle here is so long. How do I know if I'm doing the right work or not, right? A part to it could be like if I did a deal and there's like a good markup to it in whatever next couple of months, then is that a validation? But then that may depend on like bunch of external factors. How does that tell that, you know, I have been doing things in the right way? Or it could be like, you know, how sometimes we say that you focus on the process and if the input is right and the quality of the input is right, then things will automatically happen. So how do I benchmark my performance? How do I be happy with what I'm doing? So what's the validation?
So first of all, backing up, you said you've been here 1 year and two, 3 months. So first of all, I want to acknowledge not just you, your entire cohort, Divyanshi, Samarth, all the people who joined, Tanvi joined around the same time. Who else joined? Harshit was already there.
Rahul joined, Harshit joined.
At that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys joined during COVID. So hats off to you guys because I don't think we met in person until maybe
a week
recent,
back.
until you were a year into it, right? So I think the fact this is one of the hardest times. You have entered a hard business at a very hard time. At the probably the hardest time. So I think kudos to all of you guys. You've done a fantastic job in navigating this phase. And hopefully I don't know if we are done yet, but hopefully, you know, we'll all navigate this safely going forward. I think, look, in terms of validation, that was the hardest part for me. And, you know, partly you had asked earlier, how do you decide this is the right career? What are the ingredients? I have been an operator. And when you are an operator, an entrepreneur, you get results like this. Input, output, input, output. Problem in this business is it's input, 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 input. When is the,
you don't know when
are you getting the output. And when you get the output, is it the right signal, right? Yeah. How do you separate the signal from the noise? I really struggle with it. You mentioned that you have to focus on process. So I am, you know, Dhoni is probably one of the best captains of the Indian cricket team. He's a process guy.
Yeah.
I really believe that you focus on the process and the inputs and the output takes care of itself. But there are markers. So if you look at the VC investing flywheel, let's say it does start with thesis, point of view, trends. Then it is about networking. Then it is about evaluation. Then it is about actually investing and getting into a good company. And then you watch the progress of the company and are you able to help. I think at each stage, there are markers. You are doing B2B, for example. You have made an investment in agri. What is the trend in agri? There is farm laws. There is agri exports. Are we ahead of those trends? That's a marker. If stuff is happening around you where you feel ki yaar mereko ye nahi samajh mein aa raha hai, that means you are potentially behind. I'm saying you meaning the person, right? So, networking. I know even in the last year, a lot of times you are telling us about what is happening in your sector externally. That's a marker. If you didn't know, that's a problem, right? So you do get some markers, but the ultimate validation will obviously come with value creation and exit. There are other markers. Tell me, I know that in the last year, there are moments where you have been very excited. And I don't think that is driven by me saying anything positive, which I don't normally do, or Sudipto saying, what are those moments that excite you?
Like, for the simplest of it, like maybe a thesis discussion, right? Like the Monday catch-ups we have and I'm presenting my point of view after doing like 3 weeks of work. And when there is like a good Q&A against it and like I'm able to defend my point that this is what I thought it was. And this is what I've been tracking and hence this is the area we want to invest.
Yeah.
And I get like one approval, not just approval. I mean like, but you know, one buy-in. Exactly.
Yeah.
The quality of discussion gives me a high.
Yeah.
So,
or a differentiated point of view, the fact that somebody is sitting there or people are sitting there and saying, I didn't know this, let me discuss or debate with you.
Yeah. Right? But are we to that point? Is it okay? So for the first 7-8 months, right, like there were 2-3 theses that I worked on and the point of views were also like, you know, they were pretty fertile and we had like good discussions around it. But then somehow we couldn't spot companies around those theses and there was no investment in that particular area.
Yeah.
Is it okay for, you know, the person to be a little frustrated that, you know, we have done so much work, but then where's the investment? Because ultimately, is that something that gives you a high?
It's always okay for people to be frustrated. That's your problem. But so let me tell you the framework. The framework is, and it's not coined by us, it's the concept of a prepared mind. And I think Axel, maybe Jim Breyer has coined it. So what you're doing with all those thesis is you're preparing your mind. Next time a deal comes, and you know right now it's a very hot market.
Yeah.
If you have a prepared mind, today every time you have to move very fast, our competitors are moving this, that. If you have a prepared mind, you make a better decision on that investment.
That I agree.
That's when you will get the validation.
Yeah.
Is it natural to be frustrated? Absolutely. And is it okay to be frustrated? Yes. Because the reality is all of us are achievers. We are all used to getting results and this and that. So it's normal. It takes some time to realize. Once you do a few deals in focus sectors, it takes some time to realize that, oh, wow, I had a prepared mind in this. And so we could move so fast. Therefore, and the other thing I would say is don't just wait for validation in your own sectors, in your own deals. Around you, you will see that. I just saw Sarthak walk in and out, right? We had a thesis on checkout. We met a few companies in that space. We didn't like them, but we had a prepared mind. We saw GoQuick. We were the first ones to.
Yeah.
So you can see that the process works. And so my only advice and input to others is, don't just wait for results for yourself.
Yeah.
You can see it working around
you.
Say, then you trust ki ho jayega at some point.
Got it. No, that's a very fair point.
Yeah. But coming back to validation. So you said the thesis stuff excited you when you had a good discussion. There's something else which was externally, which I know that validation meant a lot to you.
Of course, I mean, when there was so much of pull, right? Like when people were reaching out to me that, hey,
Who's people?
The founders. I mean, that's the ultimate level of happiness that I can get, right? Like founders are reaching out and they're like, heard that you're working on this, or like, you know, what have you learned from this particular thing? Anything that can be helpful for us. And then there's like a continuous catch up that keeps on happening every 2 weeks. And I think that there's so much value that I can add to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's...
And by the way, on a separate note, which I know was somewhere in the questions, I actually believe we are living in a very special time. If 20 years ago, where you were 5-6 years old, if 20 years ago or 30 years ago, somebody said that, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity where you will interact with Mr. Birla, Mr. Tata, Mr. Ambani, Mr. Mahindra, so on and so forth. The industrialists of the time, and you will be interacting with them, you'll be chatting with them, you'll be doing all of this stuff. You would pay to get that job.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is that job.
Yeah.
This is that role where these people that you're talking, who are reaching out to you, these are the digital industrialists. People in our portfolio and outside, whether it's a Bhavesh, Ashish, Jitain, I mean, Dipinder, there's so many of them. 10 years from now, we will look back and we will say, we were there when these people were building the country digitally. We are lucky and privileged that. And therefore, that's the validation that matters to me.
No,
also.
I agree.
When these founders, these kind of... So at every level, the ultimate validation is we are in a very special, privileged situation where we are working alongside people who are building the nation digitally.
Yeah.
Right? Also, look at how it's transforming our daily lives. Zomato, Swiggy, Ola Electric, hopefully, Country Delight, you know. These are becoming things that we are starting to consume.
The vitals.
And by the way, in B2B, what that B2B investment, the agri investment, after farm laws, it's changing the country. It's providing market access. So I think it's just a massive privilege and we are all very lucky. And the next decade and a half is going to transform the country and we'll be able to say that we were there. When it was happening.
No, that's completely true, Avi. And thank you so much. Actually, that point made a lot of sense, right? That your validation should not be just restricted to the markups and the material facts, right? There's just so much more to it.
Yeah.
Which gives you that aha moment. And actually, now that I recall, there were a lot. So I completely agree with that. On the same point of inhibitions, right? There's this other thing also, which I feel that of course, the role is very unstructured. So how much time do you spend on like meeting founders versus working for portfolio companies versus meeting the right nodes? Because you may end up working like 20 hours a day and you may get like nothing out of it. And sometimes just like a very random meeting, say with like an old school friend of yours might just get the portfolio, the crucial hire that they were looking for, right? So there's just so much luck, I mean, for a better word, probably serendipity, right?
Yeah.
There's just so much of it. So how do you manage your time? I mean, like, for people who just get into the system, that's just so lost, where do we spend time?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to make 2-3 points there. It is very easy in this business to confuse activity with productivity.
Yeah.
You know, there is that rocking horse, which is, and people, there's a saying which says motion is not progress. You can keep going up and down, but you're in the same place, right? It is very easy in this business to fall into that trap, okay? GV of Sequoia actually had put out a blog post that I really liked and I agree with that concept, which is about, I believe that you create serendipity. I believe that you create luck. The question is, how do you, and I think I forget exactly how he had put it, but it was something about you have to increase the surface area. Ultimately, you have to catch luck, but you have to be kind of increasing that surface area to catch it. And increasing that, so the way I think about it is, be very careful about not being busy all the time.
Yeah.
You should be thinking about, am I increasing my surface area?
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. Let's say you go to Delhi. Let's say a year from now, you have 5 portfolio companies. You go to Delhi. You meet those portfolio company founders, you come back. You've been very busy. You haven't increased your surface area. You've met people you already know. Increasing surface area is putting yourself in new situations, yeah. Meeting new people, reading about new things. So I really like this concept of, and I think that's where serendipity comes. So I would say, what is that filter to keep in mind? It is borrowing from GV's framework. Are you increasing your surface area? Or are you just doing the same thing repeatedly? And I think that's where the balance comes. As a firm, we are trying to evolve to respecting that. Because often people get measured on hustle. Kya kar rahe ho, kab kar rahe ho, this,
kitni company, yeah.
Kitni company mein rahe ho,
met. Which is such a wrong, I mean, people think of it that way. It's not even the actual truth.
But as I think, see, the market is evolving. When the market was shallow, you had to just hunt in all places. When the market is deepening, there's so much coming your way. You have to pause and focus on what is your edge. Do you understand the sector? Do you understand the founder? Do you have a good network to evaluate? So I think we are also learning and heading in that direction.
No, I completely agree. And I think that's going to be my motto for the next bunch of months, to increase the surface area. From this, Avi, I think there's this another point, and this is, I think, the most real inhibition that I've faced, which is around founder evaluation, right? And us being like founder first and like, you know, everything is around the founder eval. So would love to get your views on that. Say there's a founder that I'm meeting, right? And he's like spent 10,000 hours in the space, super deep in terms of his experience and knowledge of the domain, right? So I could, like, generally, people could end up into either of the two buckets. One could be, you know, like, this guy is so smart and I probably do not understand this market well enough. And, you know, there could be like an imposter syndrome wherein I'm too anxious about whatever I'm going to say or whatever I'm going to ask. And I may end up in a bucket where I just don't know what to do about it. Or the other one could be like because of my early bias or whatever my, you know, whatever companies I've met earlier, I'll probably just overlook whatever are the key factors and that will result in a pass of a company which probably was the huge opportunity. So how do you tread between these two things in a very balanced way, right? Because ultimately, so how do you make that decision or the judgment call? And I know that we have like a proper playbook wherein for the first couple of months we were just trained on like how do you get your founder eval right?
Yeah.
But it is just way too complicated.
So when you figure it out, please tell me. It's not a, this business is not a science.
It's an art. Exactly.
Well, it's somewhere, but we like to call it art.
But
there is some science to it. Huh? Go ahead first.
I was just saying that sometimes, you know, it also, it's a factor of your mood also. So say you had like...
Won't hona chahiye.
No, I know. What I mean is that say you had a good thesis discussion in the morning, right? Just drawing an example.
Yeah.
Wherein
what
you thought got a buy-in.
Yeah.
And in your head, you're like, okay, you have been able to spot the right things and everything is going right.
Yeah.
And that might just, you know, sink into the meeting also.
So I wasn't planning to say this, but actually maybe we should talk about that. See, I have a mental model concept that there are three areas to the brain. There's the lower brain, there's a middle brain and there's a higher brain. Lower brain is technically, by the way, if you do neuroscience, it's called amygdala. That's where your emotion, fight or flight, emotional reaction, it comes. Frontal cortex, middle brain, planning, action, execution. Higher brain, judgment, thinking. Often, why do people say, I slept over it? Why? Because your higher brain kicked in. Meditation, music, exercise, all of these are tools, vipassana, to unlock the higher brain. When you did a good thesis in the morning and you met a founder and you suddenly felt, oh, I get it, your higher brain was at work. This business, a lot of the tools we talk about, thesis karo, network karo, ye wo, it's about getting the best part of your brain to work. If all of us could do it all the time, we would all be geniuses.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
So I don't have an answer to your question. I still struggle with it. But I will tell you that, I'll tell you what Paul Ferry, who was the founder of Matrix, when I was starting Matrix for India, I asked him, what advice do you have for me? He said, your problem is you're too smart. And you will think that you are right and you will try to be the smartest person. It was the best advice I could get because he was absolutely right. He said, you will try to be the smartest person in the room. Your job is to find the smartest person in the room and invest in them, not be the smartest person in the room. That's our job. So our job is not to, they have 10,000 hours. Our job is to get that 50, 60, 70% of knowledge where we are smart enough to ask the right questions that we can spot that genius. We don't have to be the genius. That's where the gap is sometimes. When we do thesis, it is not to form a view ki kya hoega. We can't make that future happen. It is to be able to ask the right questions. So that person, suddenly we realize, oh wow, this person gets it. So I think that's mota moti the answer. When we are not able to do it is when we don't know what questions to ask. And I'll give you one, probably the best, point I heard. This is from Oprah Winfrey. Where, and by the way, I don't know if you guys caught the Royals recent, like a year ago, there was this big expose, right?
Yeah.
Which show was it on? Oprah's show. So the people asked her, why is it that people come on your show and they say things that they have never said ever in their life? Do you pay them? Is it all set up? And by the way, it's not set up.
It's the right questions.
It's the fault. So she said, I do two things. One, I make them feel very comfortable. Two, I ask them the question that nobody else asks. You know what that is? Follow-up question. What happens is, I have a script here. Actually, I have not followed it.
Yeah.
You have not followed it.
Yeah.
Because we are following the train of thought. What happens is, we go, smart people, we are all type A's, we are all alpha. We go in, ye puchenge, ye puchenge, ye puchenge, ye puchenge. You have to get into that person's brain, not show them your brain, right?
Yeah.
That's the difference. So I think the best people are, and which is where curiosity and open-mindedness comes in. They are so good with saying, let me figure out this person's train of thought. Let me not project my train of thought. But you need a starting point. No, you gave me this great list. It was a starting point. This was a kind of a thesis. But at least after that, everything flowed. So you need that starting point. Then, I think if you do it well, if you ask the right questions, mota moti, you'll get 80% of them figured out. But there is an art to it. We'll still get it wrong.
No, that I completely agree. Like, unless you have the right questions to ask to the founder, how do you get the right answers? Completely agreed. But following the same train of thoughts, right? Like, I think we talked about what does it take for an analyst to get into a VC? Then what are the success factors? Now, I think everyone is pretty curious to know, because in everyone's head, right, there are just some traditional paths that a person can take exit to from VC.
Yeah.
But from your experience of the past batch of analysts at Matrix, right, I believe and I've heard that they're doing a bunch of amazing things in very, very different areas.
Yeah.
So how do you think of the different exit options? And like,
I think it's a great question, Nitisha. And sometimes, whether it is friends, kids who are asking me for advice. So first of all, it's very hard to break into VC. So let me not... You know the criteria, and you know that we will come to female in VC question. You are here on absolute excellence and your track record of achievement, and not based on any, you know, that we are trying to hire women or anything like that. So it's hard to break in. But if you break in, sometimes I get asked that, where do I go from here? You can go anywhere from here. So What have we seen in the past? I know you want to do an MBA. So we have seen people go all the way, Harvard. You pick the HSW, we have seen them go there. We have had analysts start companies and we have invested in them. We have had analysts get promoted and they are here. We have had analysts go, I was just told that one of our analysts has made 25, 30 crores by joining a company that actually joined Zomato.
So, I mean,
there you go. So I just think it is the most wide landscape of opportunities that come. So I think if you can break in, this is a...
You can break out to any door.
Anywhere. You can go whatever, you can do whatever you want. And it is a, again, going back to what it takes to succeed, it gives you such a wide-angled view of the world that I think it sets you up really well for whatever you want to do.
No, I think that's very fair. And I think... post this, people should not really have those apprehensions that, you know, once you're in VC, probably you can only go for a startup or MBA, or like where else do you land up, right? It's just the world's open and you can...
And also think about the fact that if we are saying it's digital nation building, I don't know if we discussed in this one, but we also talk about the fact that trillion and a half, 2 trillion of market cap is getting created, which is about 60-70% of India's GDP today, yeah. Right? Mm. You're getting trained in that. You're getting trained in that piece of the economy. You should be able to do anything you want.
Fair enough. Fair enough. From this survey, I think to the point that we have briefly touched upon in our conversation, but like would love to discuss it in detail. And we have spoken about it earlier, right?
Oh no, this is a female VC.
Yeah, I've been warned
to be politically correct in this, but you know that
I'm never. There are going to be all the honest answers, and I'll make sure that they're all the honest answers. So, Avi, I think everyone knows, right? In the VC ecosystem, probably female representation on an overall basis is not more than 5%. And if I have to talk about like senior people, it's literally I can name them right now.
Yeah.
It's very handful, less than 1%.
Yeah.
I cannot blame it on the input pool. At least from the like the colleges that we're picking from or even the consulting or whatever, right? Everywhere the ratio is improving. Do you think that is also translating into the VC world as of now? If not, then why, right? Why the numbers are so poor?
No, so Nitisha, you and I discussed this in Bangalore the other day, and I told you, you know, I have a daughter who is hopefully going to be as driven and achievement oriented as you girls are. And to me, I think of it a little bit differently, which is you don't want to be at Matrix because we were trying to hire women. You want to be at Matrix because we were trying to hire the best for the role and you made that cut. I'll tell you where we changed our thought process, because 4-5 years ago, we didn't used to hire from non-IIT IIMs. Then I remember having a discussion internally saying, why aren't we seeing female candidates? But with the filters we were using, like five filters.
IIT filter cuts it
not
all.
Not just IIT, but females IIT may be, but IIT bhi hona chahiye, ye bhi hona chahiye, wo bhi hona chahiye. Then it was coming down. But then within that, you want the topper, right? So the minute we widened the pool, today there are 3 or 4. They're all junior, admittedly. So I think it is, but, and you know, this is the politically incorrect part that I'm going to say. We are not looking to hire women. We are looking to hire the best investors. And you and I discussed this. You don't want a quota system.
Not at all. Right? That's the worst line when because someone reaches out, we need a women hire.
Yeah.
You better not hire.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm glad that there's Vani, there's Sakshi, there's Harsha. So there are people have done maybe a better job than us. But it's not for lack of trying. I'll tell you that at our end. We want, and by the way, I think those firms have also hired basis excellence. Okay. Now, I actually believe at entry, just look at the pool. The reality is, even in the founders, it's a very small pool. We are looking, I have asked you, tell me how we should do better. And we will come to the second part of it, which is, once you have hired, once you are in a VC, do things need to be different? I believe so. But at entry, I don't think the person entering should wants things to be different, because then you know that you will come in thinking, "Arey, this is not purely on excellence," and your peers
and peers will also have that. That's the worst.
Right?
That's the worst.
Now, when I said we are not looking to hire women, we discussed super forecasting earlier. I believe diversity of backgrounds, diversity of context, diversity of opinions makes for better winning teams. And therefore, women, you know, non-engineering
non-IITs.
Graduates, CAs, all this adds to the diversity. So it is a very, very important objective. Like I said, it's actually a mandate to, so that what we did change was, you know, that we are looking in the wrong places. And we started looking in different places, and now we have more and more people coming. To your point about seniority, why are people not senior? Some of it is vintage. If you were here 5 years ago, you would have become more senior. It is also the pool. Look at the founding companies, how many female founders. But like I said, I have a daughter, I want her to succeed. So I am very clear, more has to happen. But in my view, it's on the second part of it, which is, once you are here, and we were discussing it that day, right? Should there be a different approach to helping female VCs versus male VCs? Yes. Because the reality is, a male, by definition, has thousands of role models that they can go to. They are not facing some of the issues you and I discussed. Late night drinking party in Delhi. Is that the approach to networking? Should there be a different approach to networking? Absolutely, you should not feel compelled to do that. And there should be a different. But I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
So there has to be. So I think that's where we have to do a better job. Industry has to do a better job. Ecosystem has to do a better job. But I think what all women listening to this should know is that absolute commitment to this, because we think that it makes for better decisions and for winning. And we think that excellence, absolute excellence exists. If we have to do, and you said we will solicit input also, I would love to know how we should do things differently and look in other places. But I think we are both in agreement that quota system nahi hoega.
Abhi, I completely agree that quota system is the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, just calling it out is like, you know, it's just the worst that anyone can ever do to a female applicant, right? But on the point of even lesser representation on senior levels, given we know that it's literally like how we call for companies, right? There's a category creation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So on a senior board with the women coming, there's going to be a category creation.
Yeah.
Do you think that a direct hire there probably would help that person to be able to form the policies, because she will be on the board, right? And hence able to nourish the junior female VCs better and able, like, you know, and create like a way for them to be able to really
I don't know the answer, Nitisha. I'll tell you that it's been debated, and the worry is, so when you are deviating from something, from a formula, when you are taking risk, at least my thought process is, do things in a fashion that set people up for success. Okay? If, for example, we were to do this lateral, and they come into a, first of all, coming as a female in an industry which doesn't have female, into a new industry, which they have to learn from scratch.
And that too in a senior position.
I just feel it's too much risk. And then I wonder if that doesn't work out well, then where does it go, right? Do we get so burnt that we won't do it again? So I see your point. I don't have a good answer. But I'll tell you that that's where the thought process is. Versus grooming younger people. And where I agree with you is, if we need better ways of grooming younger female VCs,
you need to have a senior.
Then we need to learn how to do it. You need mentors. You need a female who can relate to you and say that I understand these issues, and let me, and maybe you feel awkward about surfacing them internally, and I'll figure it out. That we have to figure out. But for that, a lateral hire is the right answer. I'm not so sure. Because if we get that wrong, I think it'll set us back in this goal.
No, I completely agree that methods can be different.
Yeah.
Any particular VC or like any investing organization that you think has done a good job at it globally or in India?
Globally, there's a lot. I forget the name, but lately there are actually female run VC funds in the last like 2 years that have been set up. I think there are a bunch of them, but see, remember again, look at the percentage of female founders in the US also. It's bigger, right? So it's coming. And, you know, I was talking to Rupali earlier, saying, what is your point of view? And she's like, at home, females run the house, which I agree. They run the budget. They, I think, will be better investors. I don't disagree with that point of view. So I don't disagree with that. She said, we will lose lesser money than you guys, whatever. So I can see that point of view, and the point is understood and the push is appreciated. But the answers are not clear. We are working our way through it.
No, I agree. At least it's amazing to see the VC funds in India actively, you know, when they're looking for senior positions, they're trying to, as we were saying, broaden the canvas,
diverse.
Right?
Maybe has to be more diverse.
Let a couple of filters go so as to make sure that at least the sample size is bigger.
Yeah.
And then you make decision based on merit.
Yeah.
Of course, it has to be merit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I completely agree. So that, Avi, that brings us to the last section of
clue what that section is.
So we wanted to make sure that, given this is like the journey of a junior VC, so we wanted to keep it like fun and full of fire. So we're going to do a rapid fire with you.
Okay.
Right? and the request is to make the answers quick and not how generally VCs do after a lot of thinking.
I suck at this because anyway, I'll try.
But then the questions honestly have been framed in a way so that, you know, people, the younger audience, they can just learn from your experiences, right? So, actually, you answered this in part, but would love to know even beyond that particular name that you took. So, the books that every, you know, young investor or a beginner into investing world should read.
So, Super Forecasting we discussed, which is very, very tactical. Intelligent Investor, which is impossible to read as a book, but you have to skim through it because it gives you the fundamentals of investing. I believe, like I've said before, that everything comes down to this mental model. And in the mental model, there's a book called Mind Hacking. There's a book called Positivity. There's a book called, believe it or not, it's called The Thriving Child. And The Thriving Child basically talks about how the brain develops. And you realize that the children had the best brain, simple brain, which was always higher brain, and we then along the way screw it up, right? So all these things about the mental models, to me, investing is a judgment business.
Yeah.
Judgment comes from unlocking the best part of your brain. Anything you can do and read to unlock that is what will make you a better investor.
I agree. What would you tell your 25-year-old self to do something differently or probably adopt any trait or let go any trait?
Be less intense, which I don't think I'll still... I would say in the last 5-10 years, done what I should have done earlier, because I have just always run too hard and not enjoyed the moment. Like, I never enjoy an achievement. I just enjoy the chase. And that is not a good way to live.
And that has changed in the last 10 years, is it?
I am trying to.
Hard to believe.
Thank you.
Really?
I thought I have evolved, but clearly not. And Saloni is also laughing over there.
You see through the offside. One habit that you adopted as an investor that totally changed the game?
Meditation. Now, I do meditation in a different way, but again, it is back to higher brain unlocking. I have I think almost every workday, there is a routine I follow, which is a 1 to 1.5 hour routine, which includes exercise, prayer, meditation, gratitude, at the end of which my day is crystal clear to me. What do I need to do? What are the thoughts behind that? So it has just been an unlock of a different level.
No, I remember we talked about it. Like, for some people, it's the exercise and the rigor of it. For some people, it's just literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
And just walking around.
Yeah.
And not observing anything.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful... I'm trying to get it into my routine as well, but hopefully someday.
Yeah.
One thing that you love... And one thing that you hate about VC?
I love the digital nation building, the founder, we spoke about all of this. I would pay to do this. Don't tell my investors, but I'll want to get paid. But I would pay to do this job. I mean, how many times in life, I think it is a privilege or you're extremely lucky in life if you can say that I am doing my life's work, because then you're not chasing anything else. So... that's what I love about VC. There's very little I hate about it, because otherwise and this is a little bit of a separate thought around Matrix. If we hate something, we should change it. We should not say, I hate this. Change it. Change it in your life. You're in charge, right? Now, what do I hate? It has taken too long to get results, all of that, but it's all changing.
I was warned that you're going to dodge this question. And that's how it's being played out.
I believe that.
So, by the way.
No, but okay. So, one other thought I'm going to leave people with, because it's one of the themes of our offsite. It's called Founder's Mindset. As you can see, I'm very passionate about it. So, founders, how do you think founders think differently from others? How are founders different from a manager or an employee?
They just want to do something to solve whatever they are seeing. Right?
Very,
their mind
well
does
put.
Not stop.
So the framework I apply is a manager and employee, they will say, you know, okay, give me a goal, give me resources, I'll do my best to achieve it. A founder will say, I have a goal. I will generate the resources to achieve it. That's the mindset we should all have in life, my view. And therefore, you can't hate something. Change it. Because if you are, then you are externalizing, right? So you think I'm dodging, but that's how I believe.
Basically, you're a VC with a founder mindset, and hence you cannot hate anything.
Well, okay. That's how you put it. But I really believe that it's liberating. It's liberating when you start thinking like that. It's owner's mindset, whatever, right? Stop whining. Stop complaining. What does Mahatma Gandhi say? Be the change that you want to see.
Be the change that you want to see in the world. No, I completely agree. I won't even like say that you dodged it. Actually, this was a very good answer. So, what would you advise if your child tells you that he wants to get into the VC business?
My children think this is the worst job. They say you work the hardest and everybody else makes money. What would I advise is the same thing. So there is another podcast which is around this passion, skill set, opportunity, right? Which is, there's a book called Ikigai, which by the way is the other book people should read.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is about why Japanese people live so long. And one of the core parts of that is that they are in their Ikigai. What is the Ikigai? It is the center of their skill set, their passion, their opportunity, and some meaning and impact in life, right? That's not what I would tell my children. That's what I tell them, that you have to find your Ikigai. If your Ikigai happens to be VC, that's great. But do it for the right reasons. Why are you passionate about it? Do you have the skill set for it? Are you finding meaning in it, right? And I think in life, if we find, which is why I said I feel grateful and privileged that I feel like I'm doing my life's work, because I believe it's my Ikigai.
Did you find Ikigai and VC before you started this, or did that happen a couple of years into this?
No, it's a great question, and Sudipto also covered this yesterday. So a lot of decisions in my life have not been thought through. This was thought through. So after we sold Bazi, we made some money, could have become an entrepreneur. Technically speaking, could have retired. Not that the money was that much, but it was beyond the needs, right? Money is the gap between your needs and your means. So I actually didn't know the concept of Ikigai, but I did come up with it, which is the passion, skill set, opportunity framework, which is, what is my passion? Do I have the skill set? Is there an opportunity? And really the debate became between becoming an entrepreneur again and
versus
an investor. And the reason I picked this was because it was much more horizontal, got to interact with very smart people in different fields. So it keeps you intellectually very sharp, right?
It's too much horizon.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Got it. And Avi, this is the last question actually, and this has been crowdsourced from a lot of people in the other funds, and I think they're dying to hear this answer.
No pressure, what but do... okay.
So the question is that, and I was asked to particularly ask this to you, that what do people need to do to get invited to Matrix poker parties?
Lose money to us. you will get a lot of invites. Right now we lose money. No, but that is excellent. We would love to encourage more participation. It is a lot of fun. I know you have made the effort to very quickly learn, and you have won money, so you're not getting invited again. But I think it's a great point, Nitisha. It is something that binds the ecosystem together.
Actually, so, people have been trying to befriend, like especially folks from Matrix, so that you know.
But therein lies the answer. Become friends with the people at Matrix. You'll get invited. We should invite these people who have asked.
So. Yeah, yeah, getting it from a lot of people. But this is really great. Thanks, Avneesh. Thank you so much for taking out time and sharing all the insights with us. And thanks, viewers, for tuning in.
Thank you, Nitisha. Thank you for doing this. Very free-flowing, lovely, lovely interacting, and hopefully it's useful for people.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.